So as I said, day one, and you can check it out, look around, you see all kinds of cool stuff. I want to thank Kelly for that amazing section over there. That's just, she did such a great job on that. And you got to love this. And by the way, people have asked about the shirts. If you're interested in ordering a shirt and you didn't order one before, it's okay to be a slacker. We're still going to try and help you. So you just let us know. And we're going to see if we can order shirts for the same price. We don't know yet if we can do that, but if we can, we will. Okay, we're going to start off real quick, run through a couple of funny things here for you, and then jump right into the purpose-driven life, because the question we're asking today is, why on earth am I here anyway? And we're going to talk about the three greatest questions that you can ask in life. And before we get started, though, you know, the 40 days purpose doesn't mean that you're going to ever be perfect in this life, because you're not. And if you've ever worked in a church and typed up things to put in the bulletins, you'll know that bulletins are famous for their bloopers, because usually you do these quick, and I don't know how many hundreds, thousands of bulletins I've typed up in my life. So here's just a few. These were really in church bulletins. Please note that a three-year-old teacher is needed for preschool. Experience needed. Hard to have much experience when you're three, but whatever. Everyone's excited about the upcoming wedding of Brad and Melody. They are having a country-style wedding. Everyone is invited to join them as they exchange cows in the church courtyard. That's a custom from the country they come from. I want to remind the choir and all sinners to be at the park by 4:30 for warm-up and sound checks. There you go. How about this? The seniors group will have a picnic Saturday. Each person is asked to bring a friend, a vegetable, or dessert in a covered dish. If you have small friends, it helps. How about this? Remember the youth department rummage sale. We have a gents 3-speed bicycle, also two ladies for sale in good running order. So it's always good to have your women in good running order. Please welcome Pastor Dan, a caring individual who loves hurting people. Most pastors do enjoy hurting people. You can ask Brian. And how about this? We are especially thankful that when Sister Dora was at death's door, the Lord and her doctors pulled her through. Just pulled her right over to the other side there. There you go. Now, why are we doing 40 Days of Purpose? I just want to run through this really fast. These are the objectives for the campaign. It's to help church members discover God's five purposes for their lives and to increase the number of people in our church that are accepting Christ and being baptized, joining church membership. We're actually going to restart official technical church membership here at KCC during the 40 days. I'll tell you more about that in a week or two. Committing to the habits for spiritual growth, memorizing Bible verses, having a daily devotional, being part of a small group, serving in a ministry, sharing their faith, and living a lifestyle of worship to the glory of God. Those are the goals that we have for this program. Those are big goals. We serve a big God, and He wants to do something big in your life. And I put up a couple of pictures on my blog this morning of what happened here yesterday, because what happened here yesterday was just the beginning of what God is going to do through all of our lives over the next 40 days. He's going to move. He's going to change lives. And if you will move with Him, He'll change your life. And I want to ask you to join me in prayer as we begin this morning. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here, for allowing us, Father, to be part of this movement of God in our midst. We thank you that these 40 days can be a time of renewal, revival, rediscovery, redirection, and for many, we pray, Lord, a new relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray, oh Father, that you would help us to let you touch and change not only our lives, but many lives in our community as well during this 40 days. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to look at life's three greatest questions. The question of existence, why am I alive? The question of significance, does my life matter? I mean, there's billions of people on the planet. Does one life more or less really matter? And the question of intention, what's my purpose? Arthur Ashley Brilliant said this, quote, "My life is a superb cast, but I can't figure out the plot." Jack Hanley once wrote, "I hope life isn't a joke because I don't get it." There was a man a few years back named Dr. Hugh Moorhead, chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Northeastern University. And he wrote to 250 well-known philosophers and thinkers all over the world, and he asked them the question, what is the purpose of life? He sent this to writers and intellectuals. And he got their answers back, and he made it into a book. Now, I haven't read the book, but I've read some reviews of the book. And it's kind of depressing. Some of the people admitted that they just didn't know. Some people offered their best guesses. But there was just a lot of, and in fact, a couple of people actually wrote him back and said, Dr. Moorhead, I don't know, but if you know, please tell me. So, and he put this all in a book. And here's just a few of the sample answers that he got. Carl Jung, the great psychologist, said, I don't know the meaning, the purpose of life, but it looks as if something was meant by it. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Carl. Isaac Asimov, a famous science fiction writer and atheist as well, he said, as far as I can see, there is no purpose to life. Joseph Taylor, the author of I Have No Answers to the Meaning of Life, or he said, I have no answers to the meaning of life, and I no longer want to search for any. A lot of people feel that way. So let's take a look at these three questions and see if we can figure out the answers today. What does God have to say about it? Question number one is the question of existence. Why am I alive? Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 18 in today's English version says, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow and to end my life in disgrace? You see, the people in the Bible struggled with this question just as much as we do. And so we want to look at it. And there's basically three approaches that the world uses to find the answer to this question. And you actually saw most of those approaches in the little skit that we just did. The first approach is the mystical approach. Look within, and you will find your purpose in life. And you saw Elijah the Peach there with all this talk about when the who becomes the why, becomes the me, becomes the I, then I become. And that's exactly what mysticism is. Mysticism is based on contradictory thoughts that really are not logically consistent, and that somehow I will then discover my meaning of life. A few years back, Oprah Winfrey had a show when she said she was going to tell people the meaning of life. Now, I did not watch the show, but I know some people who did. And at the end of every break, she'd say, don't forget to come back, because we're going to tell you the meaning of life. And they did that at every break, teasing. And so you're thinking, well, okay, she's going to do it in the last segment of the show, because that's how you get people to watch your show. That's how your ratings go up. Well, at the last segment of the show, she really didn't. And as the credits were rolling, she kind of leaned forward and she said, don't forget, you have to figure it out by yourself. Well, thanks a lot, Oprah. I knew that before I tuned in. No help whatsoever at all. The mystical approach doesn't work. Then there's the philosophical approach. You might have heard a guy named Ice-T, well-known. He used to be, when he started, Ice-T was a rap artist. Now he's a hip-hop artist because they don't say rap anymore. But he said, the only reason we're here is to reproduce. Just chill out and reproduce. Keep the species alive. You know, and so you have all these different philosophies that people come up with, the Playboy philosophy, the materialist philosophy, whatever it is. Ice-T is reflecting the survivalist philosophy. We simply exist to maintain the species, but that doesn't answer the question of why we're here. It just simply doesn't answer it. And finally, there's the self-help approach. And you saw that from Mr. Ziplock in the skit we just did. You know, the self-help, the motivational, the whole thing. Oh, yeah, get you motivated, get you fired up, go out and do things. But they can't answer the question of why we're here. The Bible says, the Lord has made everything for his own purpose. Proverbs 16, verse 4 in the God's Word translation. God made everything, the material universe and the people who populate it, for his own purposes. And God never made anything without a purpose. Now, we don't always know what that purpose might be, but every rock, every plant, every tree, every animal, and every person has a purpose. If you're alive and breathing this morning, if your heart is beating, God has a purpose for your life. The truth is, God has five purposes for your life, and for the next 40 days, we're going to look at detail at each of those purposes, the five reasons God put us on this planet. Paul said in Ephesians 1:4, in the Message paraphrase, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. I want you to circle the phrase on your outline, the focus of his love. Because if you don't get anything else that I say this morning, as we start this 40 days of purpose, I want you to understand this. God says he made you to love you. God made you to love you. You might want to write that down on your outline. God made me to love me. You were created to be loved by God. God is love. And love always has to have an object of love outside of itself. That's why this whole thing that we've done in our culture for the last 30 years of self-love isn't working. Because that's a contradiction in term. If I love, I must go outside of myself. Love always drives me to reach out. Now, God didn't make you because he needed you. And he didn't make you because he was lonely. He made you in order to love you. And in order to allow you to love and help others as he does. Okay? Before we can talk about anything else, you have to understand this. And that God made you to love you. And you are here on earth to be loved by God. And then to pass that love on. Think about that. God made you to love you. God's love is so vast and so huge and so powerful that it wasn't enough to just love the angels, and it wasn't enough to love the seraphim and all these other creatures in heaven. Nope. He said, I got to have more. And he made human beings in order to love us. You are the focus of God's love. So the second key question in life, the question of significance, does my life matter? God says, I was created to be loved by God. I was created to be loved by God. So fill that in. That's why you're here. Second question is the question of significance. Does my life matter? Now, Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4, is having a bad day. He said, my work all seems so useless. I've spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. You ever felt that way? Maybe at work, or you come home from work, or maybe it's not your job. Maybe it's you're trying to parent your children, or you're trying to do a ministry in the church, and you just reach a point where you say, it's just not working. I just want to pull my hair out. It's frustrating. It's pointless. It's useless. Well, we've learned something about people. People who feel their lives are useless are people in a great deal of trouble. During World War II, there was a particular prison camp in Hungary, and the prisoners there, prisoners of war and displaced persons, were working in this plant under Nazi guard, processing human sewage. Well, one day, the Allied Air Forces flew over and bombed the plant and just destroyed it, just wiped it out. Well, what are they going to do now? The soldiers are guarding them, but the prisoners have nothing to do, and that's only going to cause trouble. So what the German soldiers did was they marched them out to the ruins of the plant, and they made them take as much of that as they could and transport it over to an empty field not too far away and move all this garbage, all this rubble, all this stuff into the field all day long. At the end of the day, they took them back to their prison camp. Next morning, they marched them out. They had them take all that rubble in that field that they'd moved the day before and move it back to the plant site. And they moved all that rubble and all that garbage and all that stuff back to the campsite. The next day, they marched them out of their prison camp and they had to move the same stuff that they just moved back to the empty field, back and forth. Back and forth, and a strange thing began to happen. As these prisoners began to do this pointless, purposeless, and as far as they could tell, endless work, they didn't know how soon they would be liberated. To them, they might spend the next 20 years doing this. They began to simply go crazy. They began to lose their will to live because they had no purpose or meaning in their life, and many of them began to throw themselves at the guards, hoping the guards would kill them and put them out of their misery. In essence, they were trying to commit suicide. You see, human beings are made to have meaning. We want to know that whatever it is we're doing in life has meaning and purpose. Otherwise, we simply lose our will to live. And as you're going through life, you're going to go through life living on one of three levels. The first level is the survival level. That's the very basic level of life. You're just trying to get by. You're trying to survive. You're trying to feed yourself, pay your bills. Or even if you've got all that done, you're just trying to make it through every day. If your goal in life is just to get to the end of the day, you're in survival mode. The next level is success level. The success level, we've heard a lot about in our country in the last 30, 40 years, all about success. Motivational speakers come and telling you how to be a success. And success level, some of you are living at that level. You know, you've done well in your career. You've done well in your job. Maybe you have your own business. Whatever, things are going well, you've raised your kids and they're doing pretty good, and so you're living at that success level, and it's all about success to you. And then there's the third and the highest level, and that's the significance level. How do you live at the significance level? Well, you get there through three things. Number one, you understand the meaning of life, because that gives you significance. Number two, you know how much you matter to God. Because obviously that gives you significance. And number three, you know God's purpose for your life. and that you're living them out. And if I know I'm doing what God made me to do, that makes my life significant. Look what Isaiah says here in another place. God says through Isaiah, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Oh, now that's interesting. God cared about me and knew about me in his mind long before I was born. He knew about all of us. Look at this passage. You scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. That's Psalm 139. That's how much you matter to God before you ever appeared. In fact, even before the foundation of the world, God thought about you, knew about you, prepared for your life, knew exactly what was going to happen in your life, and made sure that when these things happened, he was going to be ready to take care of you. That's how much God cares about you. But you know, a lot of people have trouble with that because they think, well, if God cares about me so much, why is it so hard for me to figure out the purpose of life? Why is it that so many people don't have a clue why they're here? One of my favorite things I ever saw was that some people went out on the street corner and did a man on the street interviews, and they were asking him, what's the purpose of life? And they had, of course, all sorts of answers. My favorite answer was from the person that said, well, you know, I don't think you can know the meaning of life while you're here. I think you find out what the meaning of life is after you die. Well, okay, but isn't that a little late? You know, you're going to tell me the meaning of my life after I've lived it? So I can go, oh, well, I blew my whole life. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So, you know, some people feel like God is like playing a game with us. He's deliberately keeping us in the dark so that we really don't know why we're here, and we stumble around through life trying to find it. And it's so frustrating, and it's so difficult. But the Bible says, no, God wants you to know. His plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. The purposes that we're going to spend the next 40 days talking about are not just for the rest of your life here on earth. They last forever. God's purposes are eternal. When we talk about the five things that God put you here on earth for, he wants you to practice them here because you're going to be doing them forever in eternity. So your life is significant because God planned it out ahead of time, carefully knew exactly what was going to happen. He wouldn't have done that if your life didn't count or didn't matter. So God says, I was made to last forever. I was made to last forever. Here's a great verse, 2 Corinthians 5:1. When this tent we live in, and it's interesting, the Bible calls our bodies a tent. And some of us have bigger tents than others. And some of us are kind of stretching our tents out to make them a little bigger. Our body here on earth is torn down. God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home he himself has made, which will last, what? Forever. You were not made simply to live 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. You were made to live forever. And one of the reasons that human beings have such a hard time grappling with death is because somewhere down deep inside of us, we know that that's wrong, that God didn't make us to die. He made us to live with him forever. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning. I love that. That's Proverbs 9:6 in the Message paraphrase. So God says, I want you to know why you're here for. I want you to understand why I put you here. And more than that, I want you to actually do what fulfill the purposes that I put you here for. That makes sense. So think about it. How do you figure out the purpose of something? If you pick up a tool or you see something that you've never seen before, how do you figure out what it is and what the purpose of it is? Well, to help us out on that, I wanted us to take a tool time quiz here this morning, okay? A tool time quiz. What is that? That thing on your screen. You know what that is? That's a bullet puller. That's designed to pull bullets that are jammed outside a gun. And if you can buy them on eBay, and eBay will tell you if you do that insurance is optional. You might want to pick up the insurance. What's that? And that's kind of a small picture, as big as I could find. You know what that is? Anybody? That's a surgical stapler. Yeah, ever had surgery? They were in there, you know, instead of using they staple you together. How about this? You know what that is? That is a night vision scope. And finally, you know what that is? That's an autopsy saw. Now, when you look at these tools, how on earth are you going to figure out what they're for? Well, there's really only a couple of ways. You could, like, take the tool and try and figure it out. But, you know, you might end up using the autopsy saw to as a Dremel or something in your bathroom to take out grout from between your tile. You wouldn't really know what it was for. The only real two ways to do it is, number one, talk to the guy that made it. He could tell you. Or, number two, you could read the owner's manual. That would tell you. Well, God loves us so much that he gave us an owner's manual. It's called the Bible. And he wants us to read it. And he wants us to talk to him. And he wants us to come to him and say, God, why am I here? And that's our third question. The question of intention. What's my purpose? Okay, I know that you love me and you have some kind of plan. So, okay, here I am. So what is it? Because I'd like to get on with it, you know. Look at this, Psalm 89, verse 47. Why did you create us? For nothing? You see, the people in the Bible struggled with the same questions that you and I do. And they went to God for the answers. And here's the point. If you don't know something's purpose, you're likely to abuse that purpose, that thing. If I don't know what something was made for, I'll find some sort of use for it, very likely not the thing that it was designed to do, and probably will damage it in the process. That's why so many people abuse life today. We abuse our bodies because we don't know why they were made. We abuse alcohol, we abuse drugs, we abuse each other, we abuse sex, we abuse money, we abuse all kinds of things because we don't know why they were made or what God's plan was for them. So the only way to figure that out, like I said, is either ask the one who made it or read the owner's manual. Now some of you are thinking, well, this is really pretty complicated. Not really. All you have to do is take the owner's manual, if you want a good start, and turn to the first verse of the first chapter of the first book. What's it say? Oops, maybe I didn't put it up there. It's on my outline. Hold on. I didn't. Okay, never mind. It's Genesis. Write this on your outline. Genesis 1:1. What's it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? In the beginning, God. That tells you a significant amount of your purpose on life. That the purpose of life is found in God, that we were made by God, and that we were made for God. And then if I want to find my purpose in life, I have to wrap my life around God. That my search for significance, what we tend to do is get all wrapped up in ourselves when the real answer is to get all wrapped up in God. Because he made me. He's the only one that can tell me why I'm here. And so I need to focus my life on God and listen to him. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. Proverbs 9:10. So there you go. If you want to understand God, or your life, your purpose in life, you need to get to know God who made you. Obviously, he can tell you. Clearly, he knows what I don't know. And so what I need to do is stop trying to figure it out myself. And that, by the way, has been the most popular answer in the last 10 or 15 years, is that you need to create your own purpose. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just playing a game. That's saying, I'm going to pretend that I know why I'm here. And I'm just going to make this up, and this is my purpose. I'm just pretending. Well, that's fine if you're a three-year-old child, but you're supposed to be an adult now, and you need to go to the one who made you and say, why did you put me here? Okay? Here's what God says. I find my purpose by getting to know God. The more I know God, the more I will know my purpose. Look at this verse. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose, where? In him. That's it. Everything is centered in Christ, and if I want to know the reason why I'm here, I need to go to Christ. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. If you want to know your purpose in life, you start by getting to know God and starting to know Jesus Christ. And as you come to know him, you're going to understand his ways and his wisdom, and things will begin to make sense for you. And you're going to begin to realize that what God has told us in the Scripture actually makes sense. Now today, we are starting the 40 Days of Purpose to help you discover your purpose in life, and more than just discover it, to actually live it, to get out there and live it. And you may be asking yourself, why 40 days? Why not 50 days? Why not 30 days? Why not 43 days? Well, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that God has a thing about 40 days, okay? It's something that God seems to love. For instance, Noah's life was transformed by 40 days. Moses went into the wilderness, actually went up on Mount Sinai, for 40 days. The spies went into the promised land, and their life was radically transformed because they spent 40 days spying out the promised land. David was transformed by Goliath's 40-day challenge. The city of Nineveh was transformed by 40 days when God gave them 40 days to repent and turn around. Jonah went and preached. They had 40 days. Then they did. And, of course, Jesus began his ministry by spending 40 days in the wilderness. The next 40 days are going to transform your life. I'm absolutely confident of that. If you will take part in this spiritual growth campaign, you will not be the same at the end of it. You will not be the same. Okay? Now, in your bulletins, there's a card, and I want you to pull that card out. In your bulletin, there's a card. This card will not be turned into us. This is a card that I want you to use to make your commitment to Christ about the 40 days. And then I want you to take this card home, and I want you to put it up on your refrigerator or somewhere else where you can see it regularly to remind yourself. Because we're asking you to make a commitment to do certain things. Believing that God created me for his purposes and that the best use of my life is to fulfill these purposes, I commit the next 40 days to better understanding God's 5 purposes for me. And here's the commitment. I will participate in a 40 Days of Purpose small group. Okay? 40 Days of Purpose small group. You can still get involved in one. It's the perfect time to jump in because they haven't started yet. So you can start right at the ground floor, jump in and get involved. I will read each day's chapter in the 40 chapters of the Purpose-Driven Life book. Today's first day, so you read chapter 1. See how easy it is. Okay. I will do my best to hear all 7 messages in the sermon series for the Purpose-Driven Life. If you miss one, they'll be available online, so you're good there. We're helping you out there. And I will do my best to memorize the Bible verse. Yeah, I know this is the one that a lot of you are really not too confident about. And I share this because I'm just like, my memory's so shot. I would tell you how bad it is, but I forgot. But I understand what you're struggling with, but at least try. If you only get part of that verse in there, that's more than you had when you started, so it's all good. Those are the commitments that we're asking you to do. Look at this verse, Acts 10:35. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. The door is open for you and I. It's open for salvation. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, he's waiting and wanting for you to come to him and give your life to him. It's open for those of us that have given our lives to Christ but need to get refired and refocused and to move ahead and to make a change in our lives. The door is wide open for you. The question is, will you step through it? Will you make that step? Now, for those of you, I just want to take a minute here and just talk to people that have been around in church for a while. Because if you've been in churches for a while, you've seen a lot of things come and go, a lot of fads come and go. And you may be thinking, well, you know, okay, this is quite engaged campus. It's just another fad. Well, it can be. It could be another fad. Or it could be God working in your life. What it becomes is up to you. If you sit on the sidelines, then you can just watch it go by and go, okay. But if you jump in and if you open your heart and let the Spirit do what he wants to do, it can be one of the most powerful, life-transforming experiences that you will ever have. What you get depends on what you put into it. If you will give your all into this process, give your all to Christ during those 40 days, you're going to get amazing things from it. God wants to move. I believe God wants to move. And as I said yesterday to the people that were here, I deliberately staked a lot of the early part of my ministry here at KCC on this process that we're doing starting today because I know what God can do through it. I've experienced it myself. I've seen it in the lives of others. And I know what can happen to you if you will open your heart and life to God during these next 40 days. Now, I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask you all to stand and the worship team to come forward. And as always, as I pray today, I want you to pray with me. Don't just listen to it. Don't just think about going home, getting the pot roast, or all the 50 other things you got to do this afternoon. I want you to focus your mind and focus your heart on God as we pray. Dear God, I realize that if it weren't for you, I wouldn't even be alive, Lord. But because you made me, you must have a purpose for me. And Lord, I want to confess to you right now that all too often I focus my life on my plans, not yours. Please forgive me for that. And help me to come to know your purposes for my life, because, Lord, I really do want to know. Thank you that you made me to love me. Thank you that you cared for me even when I didn't know you, and that you care for me even now at times when I forget all about you and run off on my own. Thank you, Lord, that I was made to live forever, and I want a life that's filled with meaning. So, Father, I just commit my heart and my life to you for these next 40 days. And I pray that you will help me to come to know you better. Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life in a fuller and deeper way. Lord Jesus, help me to start a new relationship with you, one that is focused not on myself, but is focused on you, because only then can I find your purpose for my life. May this morning be the beginning of a new day in my relationship with you, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.